Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
There's just something about the paranormal that leaves questions in human beings' minds. Whether it's the thought of what happens after death, whether we live or die after we finally kick our bucket and spend our time on this earth. Is there a spiritual plane somewhere that we go to? Or are we forever lost to the void? Are there specters and demons on this planet that want to lead us astray? Or is it all just in our mind? Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends. Good to see you back for another episode. Today, these subscribers sent in what they claim to be allegedly true experiences with paranormal and unexplained happenings. As always, if you have an experience you would like to share on the show, be sure to submit that at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the Swamp. Stories like yours to help keep this show going. Before I waste any more of your time and we get into these creepy stories, I just wanted to mention that me and my good friend, Unit Number 522, have released our first song from our new band called Within the Groves. If you would like to check out this song and support us, you can find the links to stream it on Spotify, iTunes, and YouTube down below. Thank you guys, and let's get into these creepy stories. When my best friend and I were about 14 years old, my best friend, we'll call her Kat, was staying the night at my house while my family was gone for the weekend. So we had the house to ourselves for all of that Sunday and Saturday. At around 11 p.m., she suggests that we go to the skate park, which is about a 5 to 10 minute walk from her house. I was on my bike and she was on my scooter, so we would get there quicker. We stayed out there pretty late. It was about 12:30 in the morning when I decided we should go back to my house. We took a different way back to my house than we would normally take, which leads you past an old brown church. The entryway to the church has a glass door, so you can see right into the building. But when we looked at the glass door, we saw a figure that looked demonic, if I had to, you know, put a label on it. It looked very similar to the Durkindestad demon from Buffy. Except, it didn't have the white eyes. They were just black holes instead. When it saw us, it smiled and bared its teeth. My friend Kat and I didn't say a word to each other. Instead, we just took off as fast as we possibly could towards my house. I unlocked the door as quick as I could, and we hurried inside and locked the doors. In a panic, we were saying things like, "What the heck was that? And did it follow us?" We ended up texting my guy friend, Cameron, asking him to come over because we were scared. He came over and could see that we were visibly shaken, so he asked what had happened, to which we explained the whole situation to him. Him, being the brave one, said we should go back to the church and further investigate. I thought it was a bad idea, but Kat agreed, so I said okay, knowing Cameron had his hunting knife. We walked back to the church only to find nothing, but I couldn't shake the feeling that someone, or something, was watching us the entire time. Kat and I go back to my house and Cameron goes back to his, since he lived across the street. He said to call him if we need him. Kat and I agreed to not talk about it or what we saw, so we watched a funny movie to get our minds off of it. Later in life, when I was about 18 years old, I was rewatching the Buffy TV series, and that episode when that demon came on, I freaked out because it looked so similar to what I saw that night. It brought back all those memories. So I sent a picture of it to Kat with no explanation, and she said that she saw something just like that. But maybe was it a cryptid? I don't know. If any of you have ever heard or seen this type of creature, please share your experience down in the comments below. I would love to read them.
This sounds like an intro to a bad horror movie, so yeah. Sorry about that, but I can't really change the facts that make it sound less fake. Anyway, a couple of years ago in 9th grade, our class went to a lake near Poland for 6 days. It was in a big forest 2 hours away from the next town, and the only things around us were a huge cornfield, the lake, and a camping ground. Lucky for us, we've been here before and knew the people who owned and rented the lake house, so we got to stay there even though it's usually only rented to younger students on class trips. What makes this really cheesy is that the third day was actually Halloween. We did a night tour with a guide that night, but nothing scary happened. That said, I got to hold my crush's hand, which was pretty nice. So, 2 days later, half the class decides that, hey, we already have flashlights with us. Let's go on our own tour to the part of the forest we didn't get to go through during the tour. That part started if you followed the lake down, and the only street, then went right around the lake. Opposite the entrance was a huge cornfield that none of us paid any attention to, because ew, high grass equals more bugs. My friend forgot her flashlight in her room, so while our group already started, I waited for her outside, in the dark, scared out of my mind. My poor ass didn't have a flashlight, and I wasn't about to spend the little money I had on it for a class trip to never use it again. I told myself everything was going to be okay. After all, this wasn't some cheesy horror movie, and I can still see the group from here, so none of them could sneak up on me and play a prank. I waited for a bit, and next to me, coming from the lake, I heard something moving. Whatever it was, slowly crept closer, but I couldn't really see anything. At first, I brushed it off as the cat that belonged to the janitor of the house. But a second later, I saw that cat on the other side of the street. Trying not to panic, I turned towards the noise and stared it down. Whatever it was, I was ready for the jump scare, because it certainly can't be anything bad anyway, right? Before the noise got too close, though, I heard my friend calling, and that's when the noise stopped. I decided not to tell her about the noise because I figured she wouldn't believe me anyway. We started going down the street, and what I should mention is that on each side of the street was a thick forest. On the right was the lake, but you could hardly see it through the trees and bushes in the dark. So we'd walked down the creepiest road I've ever been on, and I had the worst feeling in my stomach. It was like somebody was watching us, and it was making me panic. I asked my friend over and over again to hand me the flashlight so I could just check behind us, but she kept refusing because she thought I would run away with it or do something to scare her. When we reached the entrance to the forest bit our friends were in, she finally let me take the flashlight and look behind us. Note that the flashlight is an expensive one. It was so bright and far-reaching you shouldn't ever shine it towards the sky, because it could blind a pilot. I'm not kidding either. It was while shining it around, we saw a huge black shadow just standing there, not moving. It was quite tall and incredibly lanky. It didn't have any clothes, or maybe it did, but they must have been skin tight, because there was nothing resembling clothes on its silhouette. There were no facial features, hair, or anything, even though we were actively shining a light on this thing. It stayed completely black. We were mortified and couldn't move, but to our luck, our friends came running from the forest and suddenly, the thing was gone. Our friends went on about finding an abandoned shack with an old ghost lady, blah blah blah, obviously a prank, while they led us towards it. My friend and I both decided not to say anything because again, it wasn't as if they would believe us. Eventually, one of the girls reminded us to be careful of wolves, and that's when I said nope and turned around. I'm not gonna mess with wolves in the dark where nobody can hear a scream. There was just no way. After my clear refusal, my friends all kinda just followed me, realizing their prank didn't work and that it was getting late. And boring anyway. We got out of the forest and looked at the cornfield across the street. There was nothing unusual going on, it was just a lot of tall grass and corn. Also of note was that there was nothing in that field but corn and tall grass. No scarecrow or similar, and the farmers or whoever owned this lived nowhere close by. When we started walking down the road towards our house again, I had a bad feeling. So I looked at the crops, and there it was again. A black, inhumanly lanky figure. This one was much taller than the other, and like the other one, it was unmoving. It wasn't breathing, had no hair that flew around in the wind as ours did. There was no silhouette of clothes. That all said, this time our friends saw it too. They all stopped in their tracks and freaked out. We started hearing something running towards us from the forest behind us. Eventually, one of them started running towards the house and the others followed. I stayed. I kept shining the light on the figure. I kept trying to find any kind of explanation. I wanted to go up to it to see what it was. I wanted to see if it would react, but the running behind me got louder. Eventually, I remembered that there was wolves in this part of the forest, and that's when I tucked tail and ran after the others. When I reached the house, the others were staring behind me, so I looked back as well. This time, both of the figures were standing there, still and unmoving. Inside the house, we told the others and noted that everyone was still here. This meant it couldn't have been a prank by them. I was considering whether or not it could have been a prank by one of the camping people, but they were on the other side of the lake, and pretty much older people, so I very much doubt that. If it is somehow one of them, we would have seen hair or clothes or facial features when I used my friend's flashlight. We would have seen breathing, movements, a light swaying since nobody can stand completely still, and they couldn't have been that tall. If it were cardboard cutouts or similar, we would have noticed with the lights, but no. Those things were completely black. Black like the void. The light did nothing but lighten up the places around them. I believe those things were shadow people, and not a prank. And I'm still terrified to go back to that place.
Many years ago, we lived at along of an end road. It was actually the last house on the left, although that has nothing to do with the story. Previous tenants told us of odd things happening, but we didn't believe them. Our disbelief was short-lived. It began with my 4-year-old daughter screaming at something she had seen in the living room. She said it was a black cloud and that it had crossed the room and disappeared into a corner. We dismissed it until my wife's sister visited a few days ago. She said that the cloud reappeared from the same corner and enveloped her 2 little girls. Later that same day, my wife saw the cloud come from the corner and wrap itself around her. She said it was suffocating, hot and stank of sulfur and burning meat. The cloud seemed to only manifest itself around women and girls. Unfortunately for my sons, males were not spared the haunting. The front door of the old house squeaked loudly, and no amount of WD-40, graphite, or silicone gel would quiet it. Now, to understand the layout of the house, one has to realize that it was built into the side of a hill. The front door faced the west and one would enter there onto the second floor, which is where the living area, dining room, kitchen, and the bathrooms all were. The bedrooms and laundry room were on the first floor, which could be accessed by the east-facing back door. One night, the boys, aged 8 and 6, heard the front door open, so they went to investigate. In the open front door, they could see an odd green-colored mist. When they approached the door to see from where the glow was originating, the glow disappeared. The younger boy discovered the specter's aversion to pleasant smells. My wife set out store-bought air fresheners, but this was useless. Once a room would be vacated, the fresheners would close. It was my younger son who pointed out this phenomenon, as well as the fact that scented candles would extinguish themselves once any room was empty. The older boy was beset with his own terror. Frequently, he would awaken on his bottom bunk to find a horrific and contorted face shrieking at him. The face was aged and wrinkled, and the gender of the entity, undefined. He would also learn to put away his playthings. One night he was roused by the sound of his toys moving about the floor. He looked to see small black beings moving trucks, warships, and cars against the door as if to barricade it from entry. When they noticed he was watching them, they turned and began climbing the covers trying to get at him. He screamed and I came running to find him clinging to the bottom of the bunk. Up to this point, I had seen nothing, so I was still somewhat skeptical of all these stories. That changed on the last night of the haunting. We were asleep downstairs and I was dreaming. I dreamt that I walked into our bedroom, but there was no bedroom furniture there. It was furnished as a living room, and on the sofa sat the most beautiful red-headed woman I had ever seen. Now my wife, beautiful in her own right, is a brunette. That said, in this dream, I knew the redhead to be my wife. She was crying. She turned and looked at me through blackened, tear-filled, and fear-filled eyes. I should have had pity in my heart for this woman, but all I felt was rage. She cowered into an arm of the sofa, and I started toward her and continued the beating I knew she deserved. It was then I heard a voice that I realized that the dream had been silent up until that point. In my dream, I knew that this was because the wife was deaf. The voice I heard was that of my six-year-old. I turned and looked to the doorway to see my real-life son standing there in clothes I had never seen before. He was wearing black pants and a long-sleeved shirt. He was soaking wet from head to toe, and his skin appeared to be ashen and lifeless. Again, for whatever reason, I felt no love for my family, only a burning rage. The boy looked up to me and said, "Dad?" He too had a look of abject fear in his eyes, but he continued, "Dad, help me!" I turned toward him and raised my clenched fist and struck the child square in the face. Suddenly, I awoke sitting up in bed, my wife sitting up as well, screaming at me. "What the hell is that?" I then realized there was a fight going on in the living room above my head. Two men were yelling at each other, throwing around furniture and breaking the glass. I jumped from my bed and ran upstairs. As my foot fell into the carpeted hallway of the second story, it all went silent. No one was there. The windows were intact, the furniture upright, the door stood open, shrouded in an iridescent green glow. Drawn, I approached the door, looked out onto the darkened street. There was nothing. Everything was quiet. Fallen autumn leaves swirled in the cool night's breeze. I returned to my wife and my room and could not go back to sleep. We sat in silence awaiting the dawn. Dawn did come. As it happened, it was October 31st. I stood on my front porch drinking my coffee, trying to rationalize my dream. Then I heard it, a chill down my spine. I heard my six-year-old son say, "Dad?" Scared, I turned around and looked down the hill. My son said, "Dad, help me!" I approached as the boy was using a stick to try to dig something out of the ground. It was a strip of black corduroy. I went to help him but pulled him away when I saw a flash of yellowed bone. I grabbed my son and ran into the house. The police dug up the skeletal remains of a little boy. He was just 6 years old when he died. He was wearing black corduroy pants and a long-sleeved, red shirt. My brother is now a detective in our local police department. Although they have a lengthy file on the boy's father, they remain unable to locate him or his beautiful, deaf, red-headed wife. It was fall in 1972. My family would soon be moving away from the Oklahoma City area, so I knew this would be my last Halloween with my best friend, Butch. His real name was Frank, but his dad started calling him Butch as a baby, and the name just kind of stuck. He and I just started the fifth grade. Due to the way their birthdays fell, Butch's older sister, Patty, was in the same grade as us. She was only 10 months older. The three of us had been friends since first grade, and we spent a lot of time together since their grandparents lived next door to my family. Across the street and down the block a ways lived T. Dalton. He was an a-hole. He had beaten up every kid in the neighborhood. There were rumors that he had misused a young girl who lived across the alley from him. He liked to brag that he was descended from the same bunch who made up the Dalton gang that had terrorized the Oklahoma-Kansas border around the turn of the century. He gave us no reason not to believe him. Then, there was the old woman. She lived in the creepy old two-story house down the block, across from Dalton. We used to see her sweeping her front porch, muttering to herself. She never talked to anyone, and it seemed no one ever came to visit her. Being kids, we said she was a witch and that her creepy old house was haunted. The only lights we ever saw on in her house appeared to be from candles she carried from room to room. Patty, Butch, and I were a little too old for trick-or-treating, but we still put on masks just to score some free candy. We stopped just before we got to the old lady's house, so we could decide whether or not to cross Northwest 10th Street and go to the houses over there. We just made up our minds to do so when Dalton stepped from the shadows and grabbed Butch in a headlock. Butch was screaming to be let go, and Patty and I were punching and kicking Dalton with all we had. He backhanded Patty and then grabbed me by the throat. He said, "If you want me to let him go, you're gonna have to bring me the old witch's broom." I said, "She ain't a witch, and you know it. Now let him go. You're hurting him." "Yeah, and I'm gonna keep hurting him until you bring me that broom," he said. Patty and I ran up the stairs and looked all over the front porch but couldn't find the broom. "She must have taken it inside," I shouted down to Dalton. "Now let him go." Butch hadn't given up fighting, but the more he fought, the tighter Dalton squeezed his head. "Then you're gonna have to go inside and get it," he said. I yelled, "I'm not going in there." "Just go get it," yelled Butch. "This pain in the butt won't let me go if you don't." So Patty and I tried the front door. It was open. The house was dark, but we could see well enough to tell that there wasn't any furniture in the parlor or living room. I found the broom and whispered for Patty as I went out the front door. The door slammed behind me as I threw the broom down to Dalton. When he reached for it, he lost his grip on Butch, who promptly broke free and kicked him square in the nuts. It was the first time any of us kids had put Dalton on the ground. Butch ran up to me, smiling at his triumph. "Where's Patty?" he asked. "She was right behind me," I said as I tried to open the front door. It was locked. It was an old-style lock that required a skeleton-type key. We tried looking in the windows but couldn't see anything. I started pounding on the front door as Butch ran around to try the back door. No luck. We were frantic. Butch finally threw caution to the wind and broke one of the front windows. He unlocked and raised the sash so we could both climb inside. We couldn't find a light switch, but we did manage to find two candles and matches. We looked all around the first floor but couldn't find any sign of Patty. We also noted that the dining room and kitchen also had no furniture. Then we saw her crossing the hallway upstairs and going into one of the rooms. Patty had no reason to be up there, but that was the only place left to look. We crept up the stairs and found nothing. No Patty, no old woman. Nothing but empty rooms. Completely empty rooms. It was as though no one lived there at all. We were no longer being quiet. We ran from room to room yelling for Butch's sister. "You better go get my dad," he said, without thinking. I grabbed for the front door and opened it freely. I took hold of Butch's jacket collar and pulled him with me and shut the door. "What did you do that for?" he asked as he tried to go back in. The door was locked again. "That's why," I said as I ran to get our dads. My mom, my dad, and Butch's folks, and everyone came running. Still, we couldn't find Patty. They eventually called the police, who went over to the house with a fine-toothed comb. They determined that no one had lived there in many years. All the adults in the neighborhood insisted they had seen the old woman at the house. One of the cops who routinely patrolled the area confirmed that he had also seen the old woman sweeping the porch. Still, the cops could find no sign of her or Patty. Butch and I had to recount our entire story multiple times to the police. Dalton insisted that he hadn't seen us that night, but no one believed him. Mom and Dad delayed moving away for 2 weeks to do what they could to find Patty. In the end, we had to move away. The city eventually tore down the old house. They didn't use bulldozers, opting instead for picks and pry bars, tearing it down stick by stick. They never found anything after digging up the old basement. It was like Patty had simply vanished. Hello, Swamp Dweller. I'm a huge fan of the channel and always listen to the stories while I work. I've always wanted to share my own story, but just either kept forgetting or just didn't have the time. I have a couple of stories for you and everyone on the channel, including my own personal story. I'll tell my personal story first, and then the rest that has been told to me by my family another day. A little background on my family and the house we lived in. I was maybe 7 or 8 when I used to live in Coachella with my family before I was placed into foster care. We had a 1-story house at the end of a cul-de-sac. It was a pretty big house as well. The moment you walk through the front door, you're greeted by the very spacious living room. A little to the right and far into the back of the living room was the kitchen, which was pretty small now that I remember. To the left of the front door was a little corridor leading down the hallway. To the left of the corridor was a room that we called the back room that was the end of the hallway. That room was always empty besides an old bed frame and mattress, a couple of empty boxes, and some old furniture. Every time someone or myself went into that room, it was always very cold. It always gave me the creeps and I always kept my distance from the back room. My grandma always said that the AC didn't actually work in that room, or something to that extent. Next to the very right of the back room was the garage door. Then, to the very right of the corridor, was the long hallway with 3 rooms on the left. The first room on the left was my room, whom I share with my 2 brothers, my brother Gregory, who is 2 years younger than me, and my baby brother Julian, who was sleeping in a crib, but we had gotten him a little bed to sleep on since he was old enough. That was on the right side of the room, up against the wall, and just to the left of it was the big bed me, my brother, and my sister Selena, who is 1 year younger than me, shared. Then literally, right next to my room was my cousin's room. The moment you looked into her room, you immediately see her bed, and to the right of her bed was a dresser with a TV on it. These descriptions of the rooms are necessary to better illustrate the story. Then all the way at the end of the hallway, right across from my grandma's room, was my Aunt Leslie's room. Last but not least, in the very middle of the hallway rift across from mine and my cousin's room was the bathroom, which we always had the door open to and the light on because that was our only source of light during the night, as we didn't really have any ceiling lights or anything like that in the hallway. I didn't know at first until the night of my experience, but our house was supposedly haunted. The very cliche type of haunted house. At first, there were a total of 10 people living in the house. I won't name them all because only 4 of us were in the house the night of the experience. On that night, everyone had gone out except my Aunt Leslie, cousin Brittany, and my sister Selena and myself. We were all in my aunt's room having a movie night. Sometime during the night, my cousin Brittany wanted some food. So she asked her mom if she could get her some food. As she was getting up to head to the kitchen, she asked me if I could go with her because she was also afraid of being alone in that house at night. So I agreed, and I don't know why, I just always have to be in front of someone when we're walking down the hallway. I just always feel like someone or something is right behind me, and it always makes me feel very uncomfortable. So I asked my aunt if I could go in front of her, but she's already out the door before I could get in front of her. Another small detail about the hallway is that it is very small and narrow, so it was hard to pass someone who was in front of you. Knowing this, I wasn't able to pass my aunt in front of me, but she kept reassuring me that I'll be fine. So for once, I didn't feel scared about it and just decided to be a big boy and stand behind my aunt all the way to the kitchen. So while we were walking down the hallway, both my room and my cousin's room's doors were wide open with the lights off. Even though I was being brave, I just couldn't bring myself to look into either room. We make it to the kitchen, and my aunt decides to make a cup of noodles for my cousin. After about 5 minutes preparing the noodles, we start to head back. Me still being brave, I was behind my aunt again on the way back to her room. As we were approaching the room on the left, I get this sudden urge to look into the room. That was a mistake. The moment I looked into the room, I saw a very dark shape of what looked like a man standing with his back to us, looking out my bedroom window into the side of our backyard. I immediately ran past my aunt screaming and crying. I know, I'm a huge baby. As I'm running past her, I knock the cup of noodles out of her hands and it spills all over the floor, also burning her in the process. Man, did I want to get away from my room as fast as possible. My aunt then immediately chases after me as well, because obviously she was very frightened as well, even though she didn't see anything. When we get back into her room, I'm in tears and just losing my mind from what I saw. My sister and cousin, seeing me so frightened, were equally scared as well. My cousin Brittany even started crying. My aunt then asked what the heck happened, and I explained exactly what I saw. Of course, adults always say it's just our imagination or something. My aunt then goes back to clean up the mess that I had caused. She returns to the room after about an hour. I'm calm again and my cousin is still hungry. She is calm now, as well as crying, from being so scared. Though again, she asks her mom to go get her some food, so my aunt asks me again if I want to go with her. And at first I said no, but my aunt then says that she'll let me be in front. So, I finally agree to go again. On the way back to the kitchen, I was terrified. I couldn't bring myself to look into either room again. We make it to the kitchen, where, after another few minutes, my aunt has the cup of noodles hot and ready to go. On the way back to the room, of course, I'm in front, but I'm still too scared to look into my room again. But being a 7-year-old and pretty dumb, I do so anyways. Nothing. There's no one there. It's like whatever I saw was just my imagination, and that's what I wanted to believe. I believed it was my imagination. So as we continue walking, I decide to look into my cousin's room. Yet, another dumb mistake. There was the same very dark shape of a man, but instead of him standing and looking out the window, he was just sitting on my cousin's bed, facing the TV, so I could barely see any sight of him, but I saw the front of his body, his legs, his arms. It's like he was a normal person, you know, but just completely black. He just had his hands on his lap, staring off into nothing. I bolt back into the room, this time screaming and crying even harder than before. It's funny because my aunt drops the noodles again, chasing after me from also getting scared. Once we get to the room, my cousin and sister are now very concerned and started to freak out. It took my aunt 20 minutes to calm us down and for her to ask me what had happened. I told her what happened, and this time she believed me. She was now too scared to go into the hallway by herself, and so asked my sister to go with her to clean up the noodles from the floor. That was my personal experience in that house. I wasn't the only one who had saw this entity that we have dubbed the Father. My mother had also seen him one night as she got up late in the house to use the bathroom. My baby brother was still sleeping in his crib, so his bed was left open and unused. When my mom got up to use the bathroom, she says she saw the black shape of a man just laying on it. She rubbed her eyes to get a better look, but he was gone. My mom also had heard what she thought were voices of a daughter, but it wasn't her daughter. It's funny because while I and my sister and my two brothers were in our room watching TV, my sister wanted a cup of noodles, so my mom went to the kitchen to make her some, and while she was there, she heard a little girl laughing and whispering. She thought it was my sister, so she called out to her, but no one answered. So my mom came back to the room and asked me, my sister, and everything else why nobody was answering her. My sister looked confused and said, "I never went into the living room, and I wasn't saying anything." My mom just shrugged and went back to get the noodles for my sister. A couple of years later, the house ends up burning down, which is the reason my two brothers, my sister and I, were placed into foster care. Thanks for listening to these creepy, allegedly true, unexplainable paranormal encounters. I don't know about you, but the last thing I would want to share my house with is a vengeful spirit who seems to want to do anything to freak me out and bother me. If you have a story that you would like to share of a haunting or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going. If you enjoyed these stories, it would really mean a lot to me if you would hit that like button, as it really does help me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us and subscribe? Hit that notification button to never miss a new video or a new podcast, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller Scary Stories on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you listen to podcasts at. As I said in the intro, me and my good friend Unit Number 522 have just recently released a song from our band, Within the Groves. We would be very ecstatic if you would check it out, and potentially go give us a follow on Spotify. You can listen to that song anywhere you listen to music. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swant the way you do. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.